Welcome back to Bible Sunshine. We're glad you joined us today. We trust that God will encourage your heart as we study God's Word together. So open your Bible up to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. I'd like to read a passage there and you follow along, and then we'll pray and look to God's truth today. Philippians chapter 1, I'd like to start at verse 21. We left off there yesterday, so I'm going to begin reading verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you that we have the privilege to meet around your word and to read it and study it together. I pray, Lord, that your word will encourage some heart today. I pray that your word will point us to the Lord Jesus. And I pray that we will be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that your word will be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in Philippians chapter 1, we have seen reasons why the gospel is a message worth dying for. And today I'd like to start with verse 21 and move ahead with this theme: characteristics of a genuine Christian servant. Characteristics of a genuine Christian servant. Let me give you a definition of the church. The church consists of servants who serve the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. At least that's the way a church should be. It should be a group of servants who are serving the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we focus on serving one another, what a blessing that is, and it solves so many problems. If we focus on only how we can be served, we are sure to come up empty at some point. So the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the local church, should be a place where people are concentrating on serving each other. And when we do that, we will be blessed. So let me ask you today, how is your servanthood? How is your servanthood for Christ? Are you busy in serving Jesus, or are you expecting people only to serve you, to wait on you? We could put it like this. Have you been seated at the table? The table is empty, but you're hoping that everyone will bring the tableware, the knife, the fork, the spoon, the cup, the glass, the food. You're hoping everyone will bring it to you so that you can eat? Or are you helping to prepare the food, to set the table, to do what's necessary for the meal to be enjoyable for all? Well, I trust that you're involved in serving. How is your servanthood today? All right, let's look at the first characteristic here of a true servant, a genuine Christian servant. Verses 21 and 22. A true servant is inextricably linked to his master or her master. A true servant is inextricably linked to his master. Paul could say in verse 21, for to me, remember that equation, living equals Christ, dying equals gain. Living is loving the master. The Apostle Paul was consumed with the person and work of Jesus Christ. Remember how we traced through the phrase, in him, in Christ, in the Lord, throughout Philippians? And we found that there were many times that that phrase occurs there. In chapter 3, Paul said that I may know him. It was his passion to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should be ours. Living is for loving the Master. Living is for serving the Master. For to me, to live is Christ. Living is to serve the Master. And living is bearing the Master's fruit. Look at what he says in verse 22. If I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, from my work. Fruitful labor. The Apostle Paul wanted to bear the Master's fruit. He was living for Jesus. He was loving Jesus. He was serving Jesus. And he was bearing Jesus' fruit. You know, when we love the Lord as we should, there will be fruit in our lives. Others will be blessed by the fruit that they see and witness in our lives when we love Jesus. I have a friend who's in heaven now, but many years ago, when my wife and I were newlyweds, he said something that was very profound. He was not a marriage counselor, but he gave some powerful counsel. And here's what he said. Everything is different when Jesus is in the center. Everything is different when Jesus is in the center. Very wise, very good words. That works in a home, it works in a marriage, it works in a church, it works in a workplace, you name it. Everything is different when Jesus is in the center. So a true servant is inextricably linked to his master. He loves the master, serves the master, bears the master's fruit. And then in verse 22 or verse 21, Paul said, and to die is gain. So dying is gaining the master's rewards. Yes, there are rewards that will be given to Christians who faithfully serve the Lord. We will be rewarded not whether or not we gain salvation. That's settled at the cross when we believe on Jesus to save us and we trust in him as our Savior. He forgives our sins. That matter is settled. But in our Christian life, there will be rewards for faithfulness in serving him. So this true servant dies and gains the master's rewards. Note this, spiritual labor is hard. It's time consuming, but it brings reward. When the servant's will is lost to the will of the master, there will be fruit, fruit bearing. So first of all, a true, genuine Christian servant is inextricably linked to his master. Now, let's look at a second characteristic, verses 23 and following. A true servant is more concerned with another's good, another's welfare, than his own welfare. A true servant is more concerned with another's good than his own welfare. You know, I'm thinking here of motherhood. In not too many weeks, we will have a wonderful holiday called Mother's Day. I'm thinking of the selflessness of mothers who rise at all hours of the night to do what? Take care of the welfare of another, of a helpless little infant, or a father who so diligently works to provide for his family, or also gets up in the night to help care for that infant and to relieve the weary mother. That's true servanthood. More concerned about another's good than one's own welfare. And this principle absolutely cuts across the grain of our society in 2020 when we hear so much about it's all about you. Have it your way. Please yourself. Yes, get to the top, even if you have to climb on someone else's head to get there. Get to the top because it's about you. That runs against what God tells us here in his word that true servanthood is. A true servant is more concerned with another's good than his own welfare. You know what's going to come up in chapter 2? The ultimate example of this. And that ultimate example is Jesus Christ, who left the glories of heaven, stepped into our time-space history, and took on the form of a servant and went to the cross for us because he was more concerned for our good than his own welfare. Notice Paul's particular conflict here. In verse 22, he says, "If I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor." There will be fruitful labor if I stay here on earth, living here on earth. And he says, "Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell." And now he tells us what the conflict is. Verse 23, "For I am hard pressed between the two." The two what? He's going to tell us. First of all, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. He wanted to depart this life to be with Jesus. He said that's the best. The best thing is to be with Christ, whom he had faithfully loved and served. He says it would be a wonderful thing to depart and be with Christ. Remember, he's in Rome. He's in prison. He said, "I am ready to go." That would be the best thing. I would be free of these chains. I would be with Christ forever. That would be such a blessing. That's the first part of this tension that he was feeling. And then in verse 24, he says, "Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." He says, it's more necessary for your benefit than I stay here on earth in the flesh, in the body. Notice he had said in verse 23, "To depart and be with Christ, which is far better." He's using a great comparison here. It's not proper English to say something is more better than something else. We say something is better or something is best, but we don't say more better. But Paul is saying much more better here in Greek. He's saying to be with Christ is more better, much more better than being here on this earth. And yet he said, "I know for your benefit, I need to be here. You need me here. And so I'm willing to stay here. To remain in the flesh is more needful for you." My friend, I hope we will understand that even if we live to be 105, God has a reason for our existence on this earth. And it's not just for ourselves. It's to minister to someone else. I so admire people who are serving the Lord to the very end of their days. They're serving God with all they have. They love Jesus. We stay on in this flesh to benefit others and to bring glory to God. Isn't that a great truth? We're not here just to please ourselves, but to bring glory to God and to touch someone else's life. Think about this today. How could you be a blessing to someone else? Can you think of someone right now that you could call, you could email, you could text, just with a word of encouragement to lift their spirit, to be a blessing to them? Or is there someone you could share the gospel with today? God has left us here because it's necessary for us to serve and minister to others. And may we do that until he calls us home. Well, I'd like to go to prayer today for three countries. Turkmenistan, and you say, "Well, where is that?" Well, the "stan" part is a key. Remember Afghanistan? Well, this is near Afghanistan. Turkmenistan, and then north of Turkmenistan is Uzbekistan. Both of these countries are former USSR, Soviet Union countries. Turkmenistan ranks number 15. On the persecution ranking, and Uzbekistan number 10. So in both of these countries, persecution is rampant. And another country is Vietnam in South Asia. Vietnam in its 21st on the persecution ranking. So let's uphold believers in prayer in those countries. Our Father, we thank you today for loving us and caring for us. We thank you that you've left us here on this earth for a purpose, and help us to be true servants of Christ and to look out for the well-being of others, not just for our own good and our own benefit. And Lord, we look out right now through prayer, believers in Turkmenistan and Uzbekistan and Vietnam, and we ask that you would strengthen them today in their inner being. We ask that you would provide scriptures for them and the ability to read them. Lord, we ask that you would send laborers there to preach the gospel. We ask that churches would be established and that the message of the gospel would prosper in these lands. We ask, Lord, that through radio or computer, internet, that the gospel message and words of encouragement from the Bible will reach these countries. And Father, we pray today for those inflicted with the coronavirus. We ask for healing, but we ask through this, Lord, that you will get the attention of our nation and turn people's hearts to you in faith and repentance, and turn believers to you to love you with all our hearts, all our souls, and all our minds. In Jesus' powerful and wonderful name we pray, amen. God bless you, dear friends. Thank you for joining us today on Bible Sunshine. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing, 12 noon, Bible Sunshine. Let God's light shine in. God bless you.